Today we have the privilege of hosting Pastor Pete from our Ann Arbor Church. He's going to come and share God's Word with us. Gosh, I've known him. I've met him a couple times his freshman year, but I didn't really get to know him until he was an upperclassman at University of Michigan. And he actually came into the University of Michigan as a staunch atheist, wanting to disprove Christians. But lo and behold, God hit him like a Mack truck, right? And here is today a pastor, a preacher of God's Word. So we praise God for all that doing he is doing in his life. Recently became engaged. Praise God for that too. So we look forward to the wedding next August. And if Gina, you're listening to this because Pastor Pete's preaching, we want to say congratulations to you as well. Okay, so let's give Pastor Pete a warm Austin welcome.
All right, thanks, Pastor Ben. It's been really cool getting to come and share, the weekend with you guys. I came in late Friday night, and I've been hosted very well, very warmly by Pastor Ben and Susan, as well as many of the rest of you here who I've gotten to hang out with and share meals with. And I've been getting stuffed with food, which is always a blessing. I think that's what pastors look for when they travel to different places. They want to know like what kind of food they're going to get to eat. And I've been blessed with some really good food because I'm originally from Houston. I'm used to like good meat, like good barbecue, and I've been indulging that desire over the last couple of days. So it's been really cool. I'm going to try to like blaze through the message here today. I know we don't have too much time left. Pastor Ben told me I need to go pretty quickly. And so I asked Matt if I'm going really long to start waving at me and heckling me. So he's going to take care of that. I can see you, bro. It's okay. So anyway, we're going to try to dive right into the message here today. And basically, I'm cutting things out in my head. All right, here we go. So what Pastor Ben was talking about when we, just as he mentioned in the start here, is that this year we have this this theme of one mission, one church. That's why I've come here. That's why hopefully sometime during the year, Pastor Ben will be able to travel to one of the other church sites. And Pastor Seth is coming next week, as he shared. And we want to kind of build these connections and build these relationships within the church so that we will be more effective in partnering together with one another to achieve the mission that God has given us. One mission, one church, right? We want to transform lost people into Christ's disciples who will then transform the world. And we recognize that that is only done effectively in community with one another. It's not something that one person can just go off on their own to do. We need to have a community and a spiritual family that can support us and encourage us along the way. And so that's actually what we're going to be talking about in today's passage. And I know you guys have been going through the book of Philippians, and we're going to finish off chapter 2 today, starting at verse 19 and going through verse 30. So if you have a Bible, you can open up to that and follow along in the passage here. And in this passage, I'm hoping that we'll be able to identify ourselves in the people that we see in this passage. We'll be able to see ourselves and where each of us fits in to the community of believers and to the spiritual family that God has given us. And I don't know all of your different backgrounds. I've only gotten to meet a few of us who are here, but I know that many people have a conception of church is, well, I just show up on Sunday and that's all it is to be involved in a church. Or I just go to my weekly Bible study and beyond that, I don't have any real relationship or interaction with people. But what the Bible shows us and demonstrates to us is actually much different. And so we're going to look into this passage today and hopefully get a clearer picture of how it is that God wants us as a community to be involved in what he's doing. And so I'm not sure if you guys do this here or not, but in Arbor, we have one thing that we try to share with the church each time we have a sermon. And my one thing that I want to share with you today that hopefully will be the one thing that at least you remember if you forget everything else is we must partner with one another to build God's kingdom as a spiritual family. We must partner with one another to build God's kingdom as a spiritual family. That's really what I want us to remember here today. And as we go through this passage in Philippians chapter 2, we're going to look at three characters that are represented strongly in this passage, and each of them is going to challenge us in a different way about how we live for the Lord in our community together. Okay, and like I said before, I hope we can identify ourselves with the people in this passage and see a path forward for ourselves to building God's kingdom and being part of the spiritual family that God has provided in the church here. So we're going to go ahead and jump into this passage, starting at Philippians 2, 19 through 30, and we're just going to read the whole passage together, and then we're going to go through and look at these three different characters in the passage and see what God wants to speak to us. So let's go ahead and read this passage together, Philippians 2, 19 to 30. It says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. All right, so if any of you went to your life group meeting this past week, this passage probably sounds really familiar, because you guys, I know, already looked at this passage and already talked about it. So hopefully as we're looking at it again here today, God will be able to speak to you very, very consistently with what he already taught you this past week, but also hopefully he will take us into some deeper insights and helping us to see specifically how we as a church need to respond and need to be involved with what he's doing. So we're going to go ahead and jump into this and start looking at these three different characters in this passage that I talked about. And the first one that we're going to look at is the spiritual son. The spiritual son who appears in this passage is Timothy. And I'm sure all of you have can recognize that in the passage, because I know you talked about it this past week. And in verses 19 through 23, we observe Timothy's relationship with Paul. And Paul talks about him and about the kind of relationship that the two of them have. And one of the things he mentions is that Timothy is a spiritual son to Paul. He's Paul's spiritual son, a spiritual child who Paul cares about deeply and who Paul has invested himself in. Now, we see this clearly in the passage here as he says that Timothy has served as a son with his father, but Paul also gives us other evidences of this throughout the New Testament as we see Timothy joining with Paul in his ministry. Paul actually wrote two other letters to Timothy that appear in the Bible, in the New Testament, 1 and 2 Timothy. And in those letters, Paul refers to Timothy as my true son in the faith, or my dear son. And so we see in the Bible and in these letters that Paul wrote that there was a very close relationship. It wasn't something like, well, they just kind of went to a Bible study together and then they said goodbye and they never saw each other again. It wasn't like they just kind of went to church on Sunday together, but there was a close relationship that was just like family. He says, you know, you're my true son, my dear son. And it's something that is really close, even affectionate, the relationship that they have toward one another as a father with a son and a son with a father. And that's something that I think is really a great example to us. Not only that, but Paul also gives him fatherly exhortation. And you see that also as well in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And so we see as well in these letters that Paul writes to Timothy that there's this fatherly exhortation of how the Christian life is to be lived. And what Paul is doing in that letter and in the things that he's writing is he's imparting an identity to Timothy. He's saying, you know what, man of God, I'm calling you a man of God, and I'm giving you that identity. I'm affirming that identity in you, just as when we had our opening worship time And Pastor Ben was exhorting us that we need to be affirmed in our identity in Christ. We need to be affirmed in our identity as followers of Christ, as sons of God, as men of God, as women of God. That's what Paul, in this relationship that Paul and Timothy had, that's what he was doing with Timothy, imparting this identity and affirming this identity as a man of God to him. Not only that, he was speaking truth to Timothy. He was speaking edifying and encouraging words to him, saying things like pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness, patience. He was speaking these things into Timothy's life. Now, I want to ask us a couple questions real quick here. It's just, first off, who are the people in your life that are affirming your identity in Christ and telling you, you know what, you're a man of God, you're a woman of God. You're someone who God has called into his kingdom, into his family, as one who is now a follower of Christ, redeemed, set free by the gospel, that you have a new identity. You're a new creation in Christ. Does anyone tell you that? Do you know that for yourself? Who are the people who reinforce that to you day by day? Not only that, I want to ask us, who, when you are together in community with one another, what kind of words do you speak to each other? Do you build each other up, saying, you know, flee from this, the things of this world, turn to God, live in righteousness, live in holiness, grow in patience, grow in love for one another? Do you do that with each other? Do you have people that counsel you and encourage you in that way? That's what the community of faith should be like. And for Timothy, as Paul's spiritual son, I'm sure that those things were very, and those words that Paul gave to him in that letter were incredibly encouraging, incredibly supportive, incredibly just affirming to his identity in Christ. And all of us need that. All of us, as spiritual children, we need that. We need people who will do that, and we need to do that with one another. Now, as we continue on here, we can also see that Paul, in his ministry and in his relationship with Timothy, gave him practical instruction in life and ministry. He didn't just kind of say nice words to him, but he actually taught him and brought him along with him in the ministry. We see this throughout the book of Acts, and we don't have time to get into that here today, but if you look into the book of Acts, starting around chapter 16, you'll see that Timothy joined with Paul in his ministry, traveling all around the Mediterranean area, going from city to city, from church to church, and doing the ministry together. And as they were doing the ministry together, Paul started giving this practical instruction in life and ministry and being an example to Timothy that he could follow. And so this was the kind of relationship that Paul and Timothy had as a spiritual father and a spiritual son. And I realize just looking at us here, and from just the few of us that I've gotten to know, as well as just talking to Pastor Ben and talking to some of the leaders of the church here, I realize that many of us are kind of in a position of spiritual children. You know, we're young in our faith. We're just starting out in this Christian life. Even for some of us who may have grown up in church all your life, maybe you're starting to realize that even this point of being in college or being in your 20s somewhere, that you're just getting started in life and there's so much more to learn. I mean, I'm only 29 years old, but you know, 29 may seem old to some of you, but you know, I realize I have the rest of my life ahead of me. In many ways, I'm still a spiritual child. I've only been a believer for about 9 years. And some of us here have been a believer for even many years less than that. We need to recognize that this is the position that we're in as a spiritual child. And we need to ask ourselves, do we have spiritual fathers and mothers, even older brothers and sisters in the faith, who are able to care for us, to exhort us, to build us up in our faith, in our followership of Jesus Christ? That's the kind of relationship that we need to seek out. And we need to find. Because, you know, for Timothy, I think if he didn't have that relationship with Paul, I'm guessing that, you know, who else was going to build him up in his faith? You know, he needed someone to be there for him, to give him the truth of the gospel, to encourage him, to strengthen him, to challenge him, to give him even outlets for ministry so that he could learn to serve.
And those are the kind of relationships that hopefully we will begin to learn and grow in the church so that all of us can achieve the kind of destiny that God desires for us. So we see that in Paul and Timothy's relationship, with Timothy being a spiritual son. Another thing I want us to recognize is that Timothy's life was redeemed and redirected to the gospel, for the gospel. He was no longer somebody who lived for this world. And we don't really know much about Timothy before he was saved. All we know really is that he was from Lystra. His mother was a Jewish believer. His father was a Greek. But we don't really know a whole lot else. What we do know and what we can know for certain is that he was a sinner. He was someone just like the rest of us who made mistakes, who probably had wrong motivations for many things, was probably selfish, self-centered, probably had maybe some worldly goals or aspirations, things that he wanted to live for. I think those are things that all of us can identify with. And Paul actually points that out in this passage in Philippians. In verse 21, he says, "For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." That's our common human condition. That's what the way that all of us are naturally without Jesus. We don't care about the interests of Jesus Christ. We just care about ourselves. We care about what we desire and what we long for. And we aren't really worried about the things of God. And that's the position that Timothy was in as well before he knew Jesus and before he joined Paul as his spiritual son. But now, as we see this point in Paul's letter to the Philippians, we see there's something different now about Timothy. He wasn't any longer that same person who was lost, who was hopeless, who was just giving himself to the things of this world. We see there was a change in him. Paul says that he had served alongside him as a son with Paul in the work of the gospel. So he's no longer just giving himself to worldly things, but he has joined Paul in his ministry. Not only that, it says that he has a genuine interest in the welfare of the Philippian church. He has the interest of Christ that Paul said before, no, not very many people have. And so we see there's been a transformation in his life. There's been a change of something that is no longer the same as it used to be. And he is now living out what Paul described earlier in Philippians 2, 4-5, where he said, "Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." So we're seeing in Timothy an example of what Paul is writing to the Philippians, hoping to see in them, and I think hoping to see in each of us here. That while we were once lost, once we had worldly motivations, once we were giving ourselves to idolatry, to selfishness, to worldly things, that Timothy is now our example as someone whose life has been transformed, and transformed even through the relationship that Paul and Timothy had together, through that spiritual fatherhood and spiritual sonship. And so I think for us, we need to kind of revisit where we're at today and ask ourselves, you know, what is it that God is doing in our lives? Because, I mean, just to share a small piece of my testimony is that Pastor Ben already mentioned when I came to college at U of M, I was an atheist and I didn't want anything to do with Jesus or with church or Christianity or anything of that. I just didn't want anything to do with it. But as people were praying for me and people reached out to me and I saw the truth of the gospel and God gave me new life in Jesus Christ, I'm so thankful that then not only did I get saved in the church, but I had older brothers and sisters and spiritual fathers who were able to look at my life and desire something more for me. Because many of us, we need to recognize being a Christian is not just about saying a sinner's prayer and saying, okay, well, now I'm saved. And now I'm done, there's nothing else to do. God wants something more for you. And many people recognized that in my life, and people looked at me and had spiritual aspirations for me. They looked at me and said, you know what, we want this guy, we want Pete to grow in his faith. We want him to discover his purpose in Christ. We want him to discover his calling. We want him to mature and be set free from this world so that he'll be able to live for the gospel and live for the kingdom of God. And I'm so thankful that there were those people for me who gave that vision to me and who helped me to grow and mature. Paul did that with Timothy. Who's doing that with you? Are you seeking that because you recognize that God wants something so much more for you? Because what we see happening in Timothy's life in this passage is that as he accepted Christ and joined Paul in his ministry, that he had a new life and a new direction in Christ. No longer was he living for the things of this world. He was given this new identity as a son of God, a man of God. And as he was growing in his faith and as he joined Paul in his ministry, he himself discovered the vision and the calling that God wanted to give to him for his life. And that's something that all of us need. We need to discover God's calling and God's purpose, but that's not just done each of us on our own. That's done in community with one another. It's done in relationship with each other. And that's something that some of us already have been experiencing and are still in the process of discovering. That's something that many of us here, I believe, need to just start on. We need to start discovering God's vision for our life and what it is that he wants to do with us. And that's something that we can do through our church community here. And so we see that in this passage, we can see that Timothy, as he was following Paul, he was learning to follow Jesus in that relationship as a spiritual son. And now as Timothy has grown up, as he's matured, that Paul considers him a trustworthy fellow worker in the gospel, somebody that he can trust and depend on. And Timothy's life is now an example to us of what a spiritual son or daughter relationship in the church should look like. It's somebody who has a close relationship with a spiritual father or mother, or even an older brother or sister who is challenging and exhorting and encouraging you along the way. Do you have that? Do you have someone who's an older brother or sister? Do you have someone who's a spiritual father or mother? I think that's something that God desires for every one of us. And through that relationship, that we're receiving the instruction in life and ministry that we need, that we are experiencing the redemption and the freedom of the gospel, that we're no longer in bondage to the world, we're no longer living for worldly things, but we're set free to live for the purpose that God has for us. Not only that, but we're discovering God's calling and direction for our own lives. That as those older brothers and sisters are guiding us, that they're giving us opportunities to discover what maybe God wants to do through your life in the church. And through that we're starting to build God's kingdom together. Not just little kids, spiritual babies, sitting on the sidelines, not getting involved, but children growing, maturing, becoming mature in our faith and growing into adulthood as followers of Christ and getting involved in the work of the gospel. Not just sitting on the sidelines, sitting in kind of our spiritual crib, as it were, crying and saying we need someone to take care of us. We're able to grow and mature in our faith through those relationships. So we see that in this passage with Timothy as a spiritual son. The next character I want to look at is the faithful brother. And the faithful brother in this passage is Epaphroditus. And we see Paul writing about him in verses 25 to 30. And we see him, this picture of Epaphroditus as a faithful brother in the family of God. And we're not going to be able to get too deeply into this just because of time. But there are a couple of things that we need to notice about Epaphroditus in this passage. First, we see that Paul describes him as my brother, my fellow worker, and fellow soldier. That he sees Epaphroditus in this way. We see, again, a close relationship, but it's a little bit different than what's going on with Timothy. It's a close relationship that's a brotherhood. There's a closeness, and there's this sense of trust and partnership and working together to build God's kingdom with Epaphroditus. The specific ways that happened in this passage were that Epaphroditus came to care for Paul's needs. That's where the partnership was happening. Paul needed support in his ministry. He couldn't do everything that he needed on his own. All of his needs couldn't be met just with Paul doing everything by himself. And so the church in Philippi wanted to help Paul out. And they sent Epaphroditus on their behalf to serve and assist Paul in his ministry. So there was this sense of partnership between the churches. And that's exactly what we want to see in our churches among the different HMCC sites. That's why we have this theme, one mission, one church. We want to partner together. We want to serve alongside one another. We want to pray for each other and be involved in each other's church life. That's why I've come here. That's why other people from the HMCC churches will visit you here. I think it would be great if even some of us will be able to work together for the same gospel, and some of us can even participate by going to the different sites. I've been talking to Pastor Ben, and we were talking about that, you know, it'd be great if some of you from here in Austin could visit us in Ann Arbor or could visit the church in Chicago. Maybe some of you will even be able to go to Jakarta in the future. I think that'd be a great way for you to get involved and to go and partner with the other churches, serving in those places, reaching out to the people there, partnering with them in their ministry. That would be great if some of you could get involved that way. And I think even this coming summer, there might be opportunities for that, as we're going to be having different community mission projects at the different sites. Maybe that's something that some of you could join us in and get involved in partnering with the different churches in the ministry that's going on. Even here in Austin, I want to ask you, are you working together as brothers and sisters in Christ for the gospel? Are you working together? Are you partnering with one another? That means supporting each other. You know, when there's a need in each of your lives, maybe it's something just you need help studying, you need some help in your classes. Maybe it's even something more serious, a difficult family issue that you're going through, something that you don't know how to handle, maybe a question about your future. You know, maybe some crisis of faith that you are facing. Are you able to support one another and be there for each other? Even in the needs of the church here, are you getting involved? I was so encouraged to hear that some of you are becoming members in the church. You're taking the experiencing ministry class. And I know that there are so many needs here in the church that need to be filled. Are you looking for the opportunities and getting involved, learning to serve, learning to be a part of what God is doing here? That's part of the healthy functioning of a church. And I think it'll be great as this church grows here, as you're just over a year old now, it'd be great if as you're maturing in your faith and your love for Jesus, that you'll be able to get involved in the church more and more, joining in the ministry and not just sitting on the sidelines. Even in that, I want to encourage you, are you not just serving together, but are you even supporting the leadership here? That's what Epaphroditus did when he went to join Paul in his ministry. Paul was an apostle ministering to many different churches, and Epaphroditus went to encourage him and support him. You know, for those of you here, are you supporting the leaders of the church, the people who are leading your life group, the people who are leading the ministry in different ways? Are you praying for them? Are you helping them and supporting them? Are you offering assistance so that all of the weight doesn't just fall on the leadership? Are you encouraging Pastor Ben? Are you praying for him? Are you supporting him in whatever way you can, encouraging him along the way? That's part of what we need to do as the church. We need to not just sit on the sidelines, but we need to get involved, especially praying for the leadership, helping them out, encouraging them. One thing I hope all of you recognize is just leading the church is hard. It's very difficult. And the leaders here, I know that they really need your support and your help. And I know they really desire for everyone in the church to get involved with the ministry and be part of what God is doing here, because they want you to have that joy of joining in and seeing what God is doing for yourselves. And I really hope that many of us will be able to do that. The next thing we see, and the last thing I'll want to mention about Epaphroditus, is just that Paul instructs us to honor men like him. That says, honor men like him. He, Epaphroditus, was an example to the church of what it means to follow Jesus. It says specifically that we should honor men like him because he was laying down his life for the gospel. He was laying down his life and sacrificing himself, saying that he was going to give up his own needs, his own desires, put off his own interests for a while, and give himself to the work of the Lord. And we need to understand, Epaphroditus wasn't a pastor. He wasn't somebody who was getting paid to do the ministry. He wasn't somebody who had some official position or title in the church. He was just a layperson. He was someone like all of us here in this room, someone who was just following Christ day by day. But God gave him the opportunity and gave him the privilege to go and join Paul in his ministry. And as he went and laid his life down for the gospel, we see that he was even risking his own well-being for what it was that he had to do. He got sick and he almost died because of the risk that he was taking to go and serve alongside Paul. But I think that he was able to do that joyfully, and he was able to do that with thankfulness because he knew that this was the greatest privilege that he had, to join with Paul in the ministry of the gospel and what God was doing. Epaphroditus had been set free from his worldly concerns to live for Jesus. And that's something that I want to challenge every one of us here in this room with. Because I know it's easy to get into the mindset of, well, I'll be involved in the church Or I'll even follow Jesus as long as it benefits me. As long as I can follow Jesus and get something out of it, maybe feel good about myself, maybe have a good community where people love me and care for me, then that's all good. But if it inconveniences me, if I have to delay something else that I wanted to do, if I have to even give up some of my own desires or my own preferences, then we're very quick to say, well, you know, I don't really want this so much anymore. And we, as people looking into the Bible, looking into the Word of God given to us, we need to take Paul's teaching to heart and hold up men like Epaphroditus and say, this is someone worth honoring. This is someone worth following as an example to all of us. Looking at the people who are laying down their lives for the gospel and saying, wow, that's something that I would love to be able to do. Even if it means giving up something that I want. Even if it means giving up some of my own dreams, my own desires. Saying that the gospel is worth it. The kingdom of God is worth it. I think what we see in Epaphroditus is that, and this is, I think, what is really admirable, is that he risked his own well-being for the sake of the eternal salvation of people who did not know Jesus. And I know for many of us, we look at our own lives. We look at maybe all the things that we're aspiring to for the future. Great goals, great aspirations. And we get so locked in on those things that we forget about the people all around us who need the gospel, who are lost, who don't have this life in Christ, who have no hope, who have no future beyond death. And we need to see that truth and recognize that that's something that's willing, that's worth giving our lives for. It's worth laying our lives down for. It's worth sacrificing something of ourselves so that others can come to know Jesus. And so we need to ask ourselves today, just are you willing to give up your own interests so that the family of God can grow, so the ministry can continue? What do you aspire to? Do you aspire to follow the example of men like Epaphroditus, even of men like Timothy, men like Paul? Do you have those examples in your own life, people that you look up to, people that you can follow, your spiritual fathers and mothers? And that's lastly what I want to look at here is just Paul as the spiritual father. And I'm not going to get too much in depth with this because we've been seeing it through the whole passage. But throughout this passage, we've seen Paul expressing his heart as the spiritual father over the church. We see his love and his care for people. We see his instruction about Christian life. We see his example as a Christ follower and as someone who's laying down his own life for the gospel. And what I want each of us to see here is that we need to develop as spiritual fathers and as older brothers and sisters in Christ. We see the need for it ourselves. We need those people who will be like Paul for us, the people we can look up to and the people we can follow. But we need to become those people as well. And let me tell you, some of you may be thinking, well, I'm young, maybe I'm just a freshman, maybe I've just started following Jesus. But the truth of it is, even if you just know Jesus and you don't know anything else, but you know that Jesus has saved you, you have something to offer to people who don't know Jesus. And so you need to start learning to share your faith, learning to share the gospel with others because they don't have it. You have it. There are so many people that don't. So many people that don't have that hope in Christ. If you've learned anything in your relationship with God, if you've just learned to read the Bible, then you can share that with someone who hasn't learned to read the Bible yet. If you're just learning to pray, at least you know a little bit about how to pray. You can share that with someone who doesn't know how to pray yet. If you've learned to serve, even a little bit, you can share that with people who haven't learned how to serve. And that's what's needed in this church. We need people to grow up and to take that role of older brother, older sister. Even if somebody is older than you in age, you can still be an older brother or sister to them as well. There are people who are older than me, who in the faith, I'm an older brother too. We need to be those people. I hope that that's something that we can see as even an aspiration and as a goal for ourselves, that I want to learn and grow as a follower of Christ so that I can impart something and give something to others who are just starting to see who Jesus is for themselves. Can that be a goal that each of us has? Can that be something that we're willing to invest in? Every one of us should aspire to that, and that's how we will see more spiritual children entering into the family of God. That's how we're going to see more faithful brothers and sisters growing up and learning to serve together and partnering together in the gospel. That's how we're going to see more people willing to lay their lives down for the kingdom of God so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can go forth. It's as we grow as followers of Christ, as we grow as spiritual sons and spiritual daughters, as we serve as faithful brothers and sisters, as we grow as older brothers and sisters, each of us learning to invest in those who are younger than us in the faith. That is how we will see the kingdom of God grow and the spiritual family grow as God wants it to. And that brings us back to the one thing, just that we must partner together with one another to build God's kingdom as a spiritual family. And I hope each of us will live that out, that we'll live it out by being the spiritual children in this church, learning from older brothers and sisters and spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers, that we'll get involved through serving together, filling the needs that are there, helping one another, partnering together to build God's kingdom. Even learning to share your faith, learning to disciple others, learning to help people grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we need to see, and each of us needs to take a step forward in faith. And I want to encourage you, even right now, where you're at. Some of you may be thinking, you know what, I feel like I'm years away from being a spiritual father or a spiritual mother to somebody. I'm years away from that. That's okay. You'll get there. Just think right now, what's the next step for you? What's the next step that you need to take? Maybe if you feel like you're a spiritual child, that's fine. That's fine. All of us have been there. Many of us are still there. That's great. At least you have a place to start. Maybe you need to start by asking an older brother or sister to help you learn to read the Bible, asking them to help you learn to pray, asking them to help you learn to share your faith, asking them for opportunities to learn to serve. That's a good place to start. Maybe you need to partner together in the ministry. Help out your leaders. Help Pastor Ben out. Pray for the church. Get involved in the ministry. Those are ways that you can get started in this. And as you get involved, as you join with the community in the work that God is doing and the work the Holy Spirit is doing here, I believe God is going to use you in powerful ways. And this church is going to grow and see people get saved and see lives transformed and see that mission, transforming lost people into Christ's disciples who will then transform the world. You'll see that become a reality together, and you'll be able to partner in that together. And let me tell you, it's one thing to witness that from the sidelines and see, oh, well, I've just been observing here, and I see someone's life transformed. There's a certain amount of thankfulness from that. But let me tell you, it's a greater joy, a much greater joy when you're involved, when you're getting with the program, when you're getting in the game and saying, I want to be all in. And I want to be involved in seeing that person's life transformed. I want to be involved in investing in that person so that they will grow in themselves as a spiritual son, as a spiritual daughter, as a follower of Jesus Christ. This is how the kingdom of God grows. And we need to be this kind of spiritual family who has a purpose that we're living for together. Not just getting together to hang out and feel good about ourselves, but getting together to live for a purpose, to live for the gospel, to live with one mission as one church, united together to live for the kingdom of God. I hope all of us will be able to do that together. We're going to spend some time in response, and maybe can I ask us just to stand together? And we'll have some time to respond to God here. And just as we do that, I want to ask us just to stand, and I want to pray for us very quickly here. And then we'll spend some time in worship and prayer and response. And so just as we've heard the word here today, let me just ask you, just right now, just identify yourself in that passage we just looked at. Are you the spiritual son or daughter who needs to find people to help us grow? Are you the person who needs to step up and be that faithful brother or sister, partnering together in the ministry? Are you someone who needs to grow as an older brother, older sister, maybe aspiring to be a spiritual father, a spiritual mother to those who are younger in the faith? Wherever you're at, commit yourself to that this morning. Commit yourself to the next steps you need to take forward in getting involved in this spiritual family that's living for a purpose, living for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to pray for us. God, we just ask that as you've brought us here together this morning, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will seal the word of God into our hearts. Help each of us here this morning, Lord Jesus, to take seriously the call that you give us to follow Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would not just think that we're done after we've said the sinner's prayer and accepted Christ into our own hearts. But Lord, will you help us to see that there's so much more that you want to give to us. Lord, you want us to be that spiritual family together. You want us to have those close, loving relationships with each other. You want us to help each other and serve each other. You want us to get involved together in the work that you're doing. You want us to grow together as a spiritual family, welcoming more people into our community day by day as we reach out to this campus and to this city. And Lord, may not a single one of us be left out of that. May none of us sit on the sidelines. But God, I pray every one of my brothers and sisters here will be able to get involved and take those steps forward and grow as a follower of Christ, learning to serve, learning to get involved, finding those people who can help us to grow in our faith along the way, those spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers, the older brothers and sisters who are an example to us of people who follow Jesus Christ and lay down their lives for the gospel. And Lord, I pray that every one of us here will solidify that commitment, that conviction in our hearts, and join with you, Holy Spirit, in what you're doing in this city and what you're doing in this church, and trusting that you're going to do so much more as we continue to follow you with our hearts fully devoted to the gospel, fully devoted to our Lord Jesus Christ, who we love with all of our hearts. So we just commit this to you, Lord God. We thank you so much for coming and ministering to us here this morning. And we trust in faith that you're going to continue your work here. We thank you so much, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. I know that much time has gone by and we don't have too much time left, but you know, I really feel like it's appropriate for us to respond. When you look into the life of Timothy, Epaphroditus, and even Paul, I feel like it's not one of these things where, yeah, intellectually we know it, but it doesn't touch our hearts. You know what I'm saying? Because the gospel is about transformation of lives. It's not about not what you know, but how you apply that and how you live that out. So not for not too long, but maybe for the next 3 minutes or so, can we just respond to God in a personal way? Maybe you feel like you're like a Timothy and you just need someone older in your life that can really speak into your life, that can help you to mature and to grow. Or maybe like you've been really challenged by the example of Epaphroditus, of someone who is a faithful member in the church, but who was willing to lay down their life. And you know, when he got sick, he didn't necessarily have to go through with this, but he kept on being faithful. Or maybe you feel like, man, God is maturing us to become like Paul's, so that God can use us to speak into the lives of others and to raise people up so that we can disciple them, we can help them to mature and to realize their full potential. But let's pray and let's respond and say, Spirit of God, move in my heart to help me to realize the vision that you have for me. Help me to see what I need in my life. And from there that I will take step of humility, but step that is active, and I will take that step forward and trusting in you. So can we just respond, just lifting up a personal prayer of commitment and just lifting up a personal prayer of need, and let's bring those things to the Lord. And so for the next 2 or 3 minutes, let's pray, and then after that we'll close out with this last song. Okay, let's pray together. Father God, we come before you.